Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smart, a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Nick Murphy, and
Michael Lee Murphy,
work to get to be more knowledgeable about this big, beautiful world that we live on. I just always laughing. Why are you always laughing when I do intros?
I just love you so much, dude. I'm just so excited to podcast.
So much. And this week we are joined, as usual, by the insatiable
Casey Brown.
The insouciant.
There you go.
Insouciant.
I don't even know if that's a good. I don't know.
Moving on.
It's a kind of fabric, I think.
This isn't the vocabulary podcast.
And this week we're talking about a really cool topic that, per usual, we don't really know anything about. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like I would assume that we would, but I guess we really, really don't. Like,
Yeah. People who have listened to our show know we're pretty geeky and nerdy generally.
Yeah.
But none of us know anything about this topic.
Yeah, this is a gaping hole in our nerddom.
It really is.
What are we talking about, Nick?
We are talking about manga.
Manga.
Manga. Which is
the most commonly
tropical
eaten
fruit
in the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's what do you say? It's four colors on the outside and it's a full rainbow on the inside. And,
it's true.
It's highly hallucinogenic.
Did you know that? I read that somewhere. That mangoes are the most commonly eaten fruit in the world.
Mangoes? Really?
Yeah, because there's so many in tropical, like the equator.
I guess
equator.
It makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know if that's true. I read it in a bathroom.
Welcome to this mango cast. So this week we each had a mango.
Changing the whole structure of a podcast. All mango, all the time.
We're reinventing the art form. Now we're talking about manga.
We're talking about manga, which is cool. It's like kind of a Japanese comic, but it's done backward. I don't know. It's weird. Not weird in a bad way, but just I don't know anything about it. And so we're joined this week by our good friend and resident expert on manga. He is a LA-based comedian and actor and Seattle Seahawks fanatic. Joined us today is Mr. Taylor Barron.
Woo! Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
His fandom is very real.
Very strong.
Any real Seattle Seahawks fan knows what I'm talking about. Go Hawks.
What is manga?
Yeah.
Please explain to me because I have literally no idea.
Okay. So this is going to
get... Do you read it? Do you watch it?
This is going to get really, really easy. Manga is just the Japanese word for comic.
What?
Or
really?
Cartoon, all right, Taylor, thanks for coming in, man.
Cool. Yeah, so just comics.
I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. Good to know.
So, okay. You know, if you find like a copy of, you know, Spider-Man in Japanese, you're reading a manga, sort of. But it's just like the translation of like comic. Like when you go to like Emerald Knights, a store here in LA, and mm-hmm. you go buy a comic book, like you in Japan would go to the store and buy manga. Like, okay. That's just what they
so
call
it. So it's just as simple
comic.
As that.
Yeah.
Wild. And the whole, I think, reading it right to left is just more about the Japanese writing
culture,
structure,
right?
Correct?
When I started like doing research for this, I was like, oh, I have to like find out the background of reading right to left in Japan. And I totally forgot. But
I just think
I'm
that's
pretty
how
sure it's just
is.
How they do it. Yeah. Well, yeah. So they just, of course, translated that to this type of book.
Like, yeah. And if you ever picked up a manga book, because I have, like, if I'm ever in like a Barnes and Noble or a comic shop or something like that, they always have manga, and I'll pick it up and be like, I've never read one of these. And it's confusing because, again, like, you have to start at the back of the book. Mm-hmm.
The front of the book.
Yeah, what we would consider right. the back of the right. book, the last page, the page to the very, very right of the book, and you read it backwards
no,
to us.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And it's really confusing. And so that's when we're talking about reading left, right, right to left, we're talking about you start at the back of the book and you read the other way.
Wow.
And it's very confusing, especially
yeah,
if you're not
but,
used
I mean,
to
that's
it.
That's the beginning to
also,
them.
Now with, like, the internet, like, tons and tons, I wish I knew the real percentage, but like tons of like manga readers like just get manga online now. So like I honestly haven't like touched a real like manga book in like forever. Like I just, you just look at page by page online, so it's not that hard to just go from right to left.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not as like freaky.
Shocking.
Yeah. It's weird.
In a physical book, it's
it would be really weird. You'd be holding it and you'd be like, oh, I'm almost done. And then be like, oh no, wait, I just started.
Or my fear is that like I would forget and then accidentally read the very end of the story have like the story ruined. Like that's my fear.
That was her father.
Like, yeah, and then they all died. And I'm like, what? Why am I even reading this?
So has manga been around for a long time, like American comics have been? You know, there's Captain America fighting Hitler in World War II. I mean, has manga, does it go back a ways? Has it been part of the culture for kind of a similar length of time?
Yeah, so why don't we just hop right into the history?
Dude, ooh, give us some.
So let's just jump back in time all the way to the year 1090.
What?
Oh, really?
This is like, okay, so a lot of these notes and like facts I'm going to throw at you are going to be like the first time this happened, but this is all in reference to like Eastern culture, not necessarily in the world. So in the year 1090, this guy, Toba Sojo, also disclaimer, I'm going to wreck a lot of these Japanese names, like just because I have heard them on anime and stuff or read them, I'm going to destroy them.
Please, if we have any Japanese listeners, please let us know. Email us and correct us or Facebook us because we would love to hear from you.
We're trying to learn. We're trying.
We're real trying. Okay.
So this guy, Toba Sojo, he's like the first documented like sketches of like characterizations of, well, what he did was he drew animals that were representing priests and political figures, and like used humor, drew like humorous pictures. It was like the first sign of like using art with humor to like jab at society.
It's like the first, like, New Yorker comic.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the first New Yorker comic.
In 1090?
He never gets credit.
In 1090. That's Toba Sojo. He is
a pioneer. Dreamer.
Yeah. And then, so here's the
satire
big jump.
Pioneer.
Here's a big jump. We're going to jump from 1090 to 1820.
So not much has changed.
He was doing manga that whole time.
That's like, he lived that long?
That was just like the first like inkling of like, you know, drawings and like comics, where it could start and where it could like stem from. And then obviously like other things happened, but this is 1820. This guy, Katsushika Hokusai, I think I nailed that one.
Sounded good.
He like has like this the first documented like book, this huge large collection of just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of drawings of the same character with different facial expressions, and he was like the first person to explore like emotional like reactions and stuff in like Eastern cartoons and stuff.
Wow.
So he did that. And he also, this is where it gets weird, because I read like a bunch of different websites and he's credited with this, but so is another guy I'm about to talk about. I don't know who really said it first, but he's credited with using the term manga first, meaning like playful sketches or comics.
Wow.
But another guy is also credited with that.
That happens though in history. Sorry, I'm a big history nerd. I especially love like the history of math. So super nerd. But in calculus, Newton and Leibniz were these like two guys in totally different countries that came up with calculus like concurrently. And so now you have to say attributed to both of them. And then they would always argue like who did what. But it's just history is like, we don't know. It was like, both of them.
I was the first one to put the little X over the one, dude. That was all me.
Yeah. So it happens. So 1820, it happened then too.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to go from 1820 and jump about 40 years to 1840, I think technically 1844. There's this Englishman, Charles Wergman.
Probably an asshole, right?
He was a huge asshole. No, actually, he was actually a pretty cool guy, but well, I don't know what he was like. He probably didn't tip waiters. He's an English artist and cartoonist. He moved to Japan in like 1844, I think, or something, with his family. And then in 1860, started this magazine called Japan Punch. And it was just like the first weekly like cartoon magazine that had been in Japan.
Was it in English or in Japanese?
I wish I knew the answer to that question.
I'm assuming it's in Japanese.
He was like a big fanatic of Japanese culture. Okay. So like, I don't think he would like do this magazine. And it ran for 22 years.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm assuming they could read it. I mean, not that they can't read English, but I'm assuming it was in their native tongue. But so he did this magazine and it brought like the Western style, because he had gone to school in like England and stuff. And he brought that, and exposed Japanese artists to like the Western style of drawing and painting techniques and stuff.
Wow.
So he was a big influence on like the future of cartoon art in Japan. So then we're going to jump to the next guy, which is Rakuten Kitazawa. It's like the last names I can nail because it's like names I've probably heard before in anime and stuff. But like the first names, no. So this guy's a political cartoonist at the beginning of his career. He
When around was he?
It's around the same time.
Okay.
No, it's actually a little later. It's like probably like 1890s to like early 1900s because we'll get to something in a second. But he was like the first professional artist in like cartoon artist in Japan. He did a lot of like the New Yorker style stuff where he would like do government satire. And then there was this incident called the High Treason Incident. Where there was like this plot uncovered to kill the Emperor of Japan, Meiji, I think is how you say it. It's M-E-I-J-I. And like apparently they went to some lumber yardsmen, I don't know what you call them, their house and found like explosive materials to create a bomb. And like ended up arresting like 26 people and executing 24 of them. And the funny thing is the other two got like 8 years of like jail.
What?
Yeah. So like most of them
got over there rolling dice for who gets to live.
And then it like came out later that like a lot of that was just basically an exaggeration by the government to like take out some people that were against, like, it was like leftists is what they were called.
Sure.
And like, it was just basically taking out the opposition. Only like four people were really involved with the plot, and they kind of used it as,
so it was more of an example to other
so
people.
So after that, Kitazawa like kind of backed off on like satire and stuff because he didn't want to mess with the government.
People killed, He's like, let's just paint ponies and things. That sounds more fun right now, right?
Like, I mean, he still did. It wasn't just like
just maybe not ponies, pushing it so hard.
He wasn't pushing it, So. This guy that happened in 1910. So this guy was like early 1900s, and he like just happened to be, since he was the first like big artist, he just happened to be around at the like right perfect time that like the next generation that came up became this huge generation. And because of that, everyone attributes him as like the father of manga because they feel like he like really brought like the crowd in. So our next guy is Frank A. Nunkivell or Nunkivelli. He's an Australian dude, and he was just a really good friend of Kitazawa's and a big influence to him. He was also a political artist. The like drawing I saw that he did was like a tiny baby, like Teddy Roosevelt, I think, like wrapped up in serpents with the old dude's faces. Like, it was really weird. But that was just another like time that a Western artist is like really influenced a Japanese artist, because if you look at like old Japanese art, it's like very Japanese.
right.
But like, we all know like there's characteristics that we're familiar with when you can say this is, you know, very Western, this is very Eastern.
And it's just funny because like, if you look at it, like how it's grown, if you just look at like a manga now or the art inside, it's weird because like everyone looks like a white person. Like, they don't even look Japanese.
Right.
And I actually had a discussion once with a friend. Like, we were trying to think of like three black people ever in like Japanese manga or anime, and I can think of two right now, and that is it.
Wow.
And one is just literally the color black. It's not a black person. He's like an otherworldly character that's just black.
Can I ask a question?
It's a shame.
What's the difference, if there is one, between manga and anime?
Oh, okay. So manga is the comic. It's like the comic book, right? And anime is the television series. So like an anime happens when a manga has a big enough following that they're like, we can make this and make money off of it. So they basically just adapt the books into episodes.
Is that how most of the anime that we're familiar with has started? Like Dragon Ball Z was a manga?
That's definitely, yes. That's definitely how it started. And now there's a lot of like animes that are just created as like animes, but most of them are still based off
manga. Is it going the other way now, where there's mangas now coming from anime?
There's probably, but I would say it's probably like 80 to 90% still like a manga first and then an anime. Huh. Because there's just so many now. There's just so many mangas.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. I had no idea.
Okay.
Fair question.
So right. we're in early 1900s.
Like the early 1900s. And now probably 20 years later, I don't have an exact date, but like before World War II, this guy Ippei Okamoto, he did a lot of like of the groundwork to like set up other people in the future. So he was like a big fan of manga, and he wrote the first manga technique manual, like on how to draw and how to craft it and everything.
Cool.
It's called Shin Manga no Kaki Kata.
Yep.
Yeah. That was nice.
Kaki Kata.
That's okay. When we did the Snow White episode, there were so many German words. I was like, I don't know.
And that means how to draw a new manga. And he also started a school, a manga school called Ippei Juku, which just means it's his name, Ippei School. And
makes sense.
He was a huge, huge influence to the next guy, which is like the godfather. And his name is Osamu Tezuka. He's like the man in manga. His first manga was published in 1946, right after World War II. And this is when everything kind of takes off and it becomes big.
So all these other guys are like the people that were doing cartoons, and then this guy is like the Walt Disney that comes in and makes manga explode.
He's like literally been called the Walt Disney of manga.
Oh, well, look at me. Just learning quickly here, guys.
His like fan...
What was his name again?
Sorry. His name is Osamu Tezuka.
Okay.
His like the name his fans call him is Manga no Kamisama, which is the god of comics.
Damn.
Wow, no pressure.
He did a lot. So his first manga was in 1946, and then the next year, 1947, the Japanese constitution was signed, which prohibited all types of censorship. So now like movies from like France and Germany and the USA are all like being able to play in Japan. So once that happened, he got really into like Western culture and like style of cartoon and art, that he started making mangas that were a lot more accessible to not only like Japanese culture but to the world. And he created like the first manga that was huge, like a big international hit, and it was called Astro Boy.
Astro Boy,
exactly. Which is, it was just like made in, it's been in, they've made a bunch of TV shows, and now like it's a, they just remade a movie. There's a bunch of movies, but they just made one. But the people that made Monsters versus Aliens like made a movie, Astro Boy.
That we'll post that on our site. But you guys, once you see it, you'll be like, oh yeah, Astro Boy.
Yeah.
So was, you say that he was a big fan of Western, you know, comics, all this. So with Astro Boy, was it like, did he start making like kind of like a hybrid between like Western comics and stuff like that with traditional manga, and that's like what propelled it, or was it still more traditional, or did kind of like a mix?
I would say it's like pretty close to modern manga right now. But as far as like tropes and like story and stuff, it very like very closely followed like the Japanese manga style.
Okay, cool.
But what he took from like Western culture was like the idea of making his stories like scenic and like not like from box to box, but like he would make, you know, like Garfield on the counter to the next strip he's eating lasagna, to the next strip he's like asleep on the couch, it would be Garfield on the counter and then him getting off the counter and then him walking to the fridge and opening the fridge. Like he like brought scenic art into like the comic.
Interesting. Okay.
So he has like 7,000 volumes to his name with over 150,000 pages of sketches.
Oh my God.
That he did. He was like a super workhorse. He also implemented the beginning of the studio system for manga. So before this, it was like someone had an idea. I'm going to go in the basement, write it out and draw it all, and it's done. And this guy was like, I'm going to get a bunch of people. I'm going to write out a story. I'm going to show them how to like draw the character, and we're all going to create it together so we can start pumping these things out.
Wow. It's more like a
Walt Disney.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he had the business idea. He figured that out.
Writers and animators and da da da.
That's brilliant.
And while he's doing all this, he went to medical school and got a medical degree.
What?
Yeah.
Do you think that's because his parents were still disappointed? They're like, you're just running some comic empire. When are you going to get serious? Like,
stop drawing your cartoons. I don't know why they have a weird accent. I don't even know what that was.
You need to stop drawing your cartoons.
We're the worst. You guys sound like Boris and Natasha from Rocky Balboa.
Just stop drawing your cartoons.
Stop drawing your cartoons.
It's like, okay, pop.
Okay, so here's a little fun fact. Osamu Tezuka was a huge fan of Superman, and he was made the honorary chairman of the Superman fan club in Japan.
That's wow. Awesome.
Okay. All right. Respect. So
he was he deserves it.
American comics. Okay, yeah, totally. So he did a bunch of work, and I thought this was like a cool little fact. So when he died, I think he was like 60. He died in the hospital, and his last words were to his nurse. After she like took away his like pen and drawing equipment, his last words were, "I'm begging you, let me work."
Oh, wow.
The dude
great.
Was like going at it till the day he died.
That's
so
awesome.
The last like big person I want to talk about, because like after this is like just it just blew up so much that there's like so many people that you could like reference or talk about, but like these were like the foundation. So this is Machiko Hasegawa. It's like the first female big manga artist. And this was right after the war as well in 1946. She thought women, and at this point, like manga's pretty popular. So she thought women needed a role model for like strength and determination and stuff. So she created this manga called Sazae-san. It's a Sazae-san.
Okay. So, sounds
like
good. It.
So unfortunately, like the, bio I read about it, like described it so poorly. I was trying to find some of it so I could read it, but it basically said it's just about a post-war housewife. And I was like, there's more to it than that. There's gotta be more to
I'm
it.
I'm sure.
Than that.
Yeah. It's not just some little slice of life thing.
But, it got really popular. It ended up selling over 62 million copies.
Wow.
And it was turned into a weekly animation that is still running in Japan as of 2015. So probably still now.
Wow.
So it was like big time popular.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's cool. Seeing like a woman kind of get on the ground floor there.
Especially like this is in the late 40s. Like it's not like this is
1946.
Like, this
was
like 20 years ago. It's like that's huge. Like manga just started getting popular. And then right away. Mm-hmm. Like a woman gets in there, which is, you know, hard enough in really any kind of industry. And she gets on the ground level and makes this like,
yeah, she's like, hey, we want something too.
Fuckers. Yeah. And starts representing women as particularly like strong women, post-war strong women and stuff like that's freaking. And it's like, again, still like, that's crazy. It's still animation today. More or less. Like that's
very,
so
I don't know if this isn't the scope of this podcast, but is because I think of when you think of like American comics, and I know that there are a lot of great female like comic artists, but you think of it as a very male dominated, as many like fields in the arts are. It's like a very male dominated, you know, dude with in his basement, like drawing cartoons. And is that the same in Japan, or did this female artists kind of help that barrier kind of, I mean, I wonder if more women got in on the ground floor because they had somebody to look to earlier.
I think it probably helped, but unfortunately I think it's still like a very male dominated thing. It's probably not as bad as like in America, but, there's a bunch of really great, like female manga artists like that are for like really big manga now, like Sailor Moon. I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's huge. And that's a female artist author. So, I mean, they're out there. I just like, I feel like it's still very like male dominated. But
we're making strides.
The cool thing is I was thinking about this the other day is like when you think about American comics, like think about all the women and they all look the same. They're like tiny waist, huge boobs, like, but like in Japanese mangas, like there's like literally everything. Like, they just throw everybody in. Well, there. Well, now it's short, fat, tall, skinny, wide.
Gonna be my next question. I was like, how are women represented in manga?
Well, there's like, it's funny because there's still like that,
the va-va-voom.
There's still the va-va-voom, mm-hmm, for sure. There's plenty of like characters in almost every manga that's gonna be like that Jessica Rabbit style.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also a lot that aren't. Like, there's this one called Kill La Kill, and it's like all about this girl who's like in high school who just ends up like, basically she gets like a like outfit that is alive and makes her super strong, and right, she kills it. She just beats everyone's ass. It's awesome.
The but cooler, like, the cooler, like, version of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Fans.
Slightly different. America Rare, yeah, throws that on, starts doing like flip kicks. Yeah.
But she's just like a, you know, normal looking high school girl, like short, like flat chested. Like, I'm not thinking about high schoolers, but like, you know, she's a right, normal looking human being.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
a lot of the other people in the anime are too. And there's not the va-va-boom there, which is good that it's not everywhere.
That's nice, because there's this board game that we love playing called Legendary, which has introduced, yeah, me to the Marvel universe and all the characters. So now I'm like obsessed with most of them.
Yeah.
But there is literally like one female character, Domino, who is not like
proportional.
Who's proportional. Yeah. She's very slight. But everyone else, I mean, Tigra, I think she's just naked.
No, she's,
just,
she's in a bikini.
She's okay. She's in a tiger striped bikini.
Yeah.
But like everybody, there's none. I mean, every character. In that, the way they're drawn, even if it's not the way they're represented, you know, like, it just, it's nice to know that they exist where they're normal.
Right.
Like,
yeah. And it's a,
you know, attainable, relatable.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of examples. And again, if there are more examples of not overly sexualized characters, or maybe like,
but we're talking about mainstream. I mean, I'm sure there's tons, oh, yeah, of indie comics with, of course, awesome, yeah, characters, yeah, that represent a wide swath, but mainstream comics, I mean, in the Marvel verse, this Legendary game we play has every Marvel character practically. I mean, we're going deep into the archives, yeah, of Marvel characters, and every woman from Jessica Jones to Rogue to freaking She-Hulk, every one of them is, yeah, just boobs galore.
Boobs galore and wearing the most impractical clothes.
Although, weirdly,
the, on the planet,
the superhero boobs galore is very conservative. She's got a big turtleneck on, so it's,
yeah,
weird,
the only person wearing a sensible outfit is Jessica Jones, and even her, she's boobs galore. Well,
and she's not even a character. She's,
yeah, I know. In the, but she's that, just half a,
so,
character.
So, like, if she was an actual whole game character, she might, they might just sex her.
Anyway,
too,
tangent, but, over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay, manga.
Okay, so how did you get into manga?
Yeah.
Because obviously you really like it, but you know, how Seattle Seahawks fanatic Taylor, did you get into manga?
I honestly, more recently than earlier. So,
oh, really? I feel like a lot of people get into it in high school.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like when I was a kid growing up, I like watched a lot of cartoons, and you know, obviously, like a lot of kids in my generation got into the show Pokemon, and
oh yeah,
oh hell yeah, gotta catch them all. Original 151 for life.
Yeah, we all had that poster, I think, and try to memorize the yeah, original Pokemon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, what number they are. I think I can knock out the first 20 easy now. Solid. But then
we could have been
that,
studying
nothing,
the periodic table, but we studied the Pokemon chart.
But I mean, I was like really into that. I got into like Pokemon cards and everything, and then like, I don't know. I think I never really watched the show. I remember like the movie came out, the first like Pokemon the movie, and I was into
that movie.
And I still stand by the soundtrack of that movie. It's incredible.
So that movie, that was the first time that, not the first time, but my sister and I were gonna go see a movie, and we got to choose, but neither of us wanted to see the same movie. I wanted to see the Pokemon movie, and my sister wanted to see this like dumb Barbie movie. And Black, this is, Swan, no slight on my sister. She's an amazing person. But when she was eight,
she wants stupid
when she was eight, she wanted to see this dumb Barbie movie.
So wait, sorry to interrupt, but here's my question. The Barbie movie, is it like Barbie movies being moved, or is it like an
animated Barbie,
Barbie,
okay, movie?
And, not as cool.
And so my dad flipped a coin and I won, and we saw the Pokemon movie. And to this day, I'm like, that was the greatest coin flip ever.
Yeah.
I did not have to watch a stupid Barbie movie, and you got to watch the Pokemon movie.
So many real emotions in that Pokemon.
Oh my
movie.
God.
Oh yeah.
Mewtwo? Yeah, was, so complex.
Little show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Pokemon rules.
But anyway, so I was like super into Pokemon, and then because of that, like style, you know, that like Japanese anime, I learned about and got into Dragon Ball.
About to say, so you had, okay. That's like the gateway.
That is the marijuana of anime. It really is. Dragon Ball, because it will get you hooked.
Hey, man, come
so
here.
Good.
Hey, man, you just got Goku, right? Check him out, man. Hey, yeah. Go Super Saiyan one time. See what happens. Then you're deep in. I never did the Dragon Ball thing, but.
You never did?
No.
Yeah.
I had a friend.
I stopped
and
missed out.
Friend in middle school and elementary school who like loved Dragon Ball Z. I was the same thing. I was never really into it. It was just too much of like,
if you watch 10 minutes of one, I was not into Dragon Ball Z until my little brother one day was watching it. I watched 6 hours of Dragon Ball Z with him that day because I was so invested in the story. Now
I would think I would probably like it a lot.
Yeah.
But like,
I didn't give it a chance.
I was
like not even unhappy about it. I was just like, we have to stay and watch the next episode.
That's like the beauty and the horror of it too, is like there's so much. Because they're translating it or adapting it from like weekly, you know, 25 page mangas to like episodes, they like eventually start catching up. So they're like, we gotta stretch this out. So for 6 episodes, we're gonna have Goku screaming and turning yellow. Because literally, I went back. Okay, so this brings me to this. Like, I was super into Dragon Ball, and then like 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I wanna rewatch Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. I feel like I loved it so much as a kid, I want to rewatch it. So the first thing I did was go back, and if you've ever seen Dragon Ball Z, like the first time Goku goes Super Saiyan when he's fighting this character, Frieza, is like the dopest. So I went back and just watched that like on YouTube and realized that it literally is like 6 episodes of him just like screaming and like nothing else happening. And then like he finally does it. And then you're like, really?
And then real quick, someone like starts dyeing his hair yellow. Like,
yeah. And then you like
foils in.
You think about how that was aired when I was a kid, like an hour block. So you get 2 episodes like every Saturday or Sunday something. So like for like
it took
3
month.
Or 4 weeks, yeah. I was like, is he going to do it? And like,
yeah. You just wonder like, why is Frieza hanging out for so long?
I know.
Like, is that guy okay?
That's
just
one thing about
just like psyching himself up.
I think he would have hit a 7-Eleven or something in there. Like
Japanese anime and manga is a lot of like fighting and all of your friends watching. Like, oh, he's losing, but we should stay over here.
Yeah. That's really true.
So you got into Dragon Ball and it's just opened this world up to you
So I got back into it and I was like, I watched that and I was like, well, I gotta rewatch all of it. So I started with Dragon Ball and watched all of that, which is like 200 episodes or something. And then I watched all of Dragon Ball Z, which is like 200 or 300 episodes or something. And you burn through it because like you did, you just sit down and you watch like 6 hours and you're like, oh, cause they're all so short that you're like, I gotta watch the next one. So I went through all that and I was like, man, this is so great. Like, I love that. I want to find something else like that. So I asked some friends and they were like, oh, if you like Dragon Ball Z, you'd like the show Naruto, which I never heard of before.
What was it?
Naruto.
Naruto.
Yeah, okay. I've heard of that.
And it's huge. It's like one of the most popular mangas and animes in the world. So I was like, okay, I'll check that out. And it's about a kid who's a ninja and it's all about like this world where everyone's ninjas and he's like an outcast and like everybody in his village hates him and his whole goal is to like become the Hokage, which is the like king or chieftain of the village so that everyone will like recognize him and like respect him. But it's super cool and I stand by this. It's like one of the most emotional shows you could ever watch if you watch it all the way through. Like it will tear at your heartstrings.
Oh no.
It's like some animes like Dragon Ball Z, they're like characters die and they come right back to life. Like you can just wish them back to life. But like in Naruto, like people die and you're like, oh my God.
That's rough.
But so that I got into that and I watched that. And that's still going today. Like I think the anime is ending soon, like in like a month or two. Because the manga itself ended last year, but like it's almost over, and I think that started in the 90s too. Like these things, the big ones run for like a long time. Like Dragon Ball Z is like a weird one-off, or Dragon Ball, because he did like Dragon Ball, then Dragon Ball Z, then Dragon Ball Super now. But like the other ones, they just run forever.
Difference between them all.
So I watched Naruto, got into that, and I was like, okay. I was talking to a friend of mine named Steven. He's a comedy writer, and he told me about this. I remember this because he told me, he's like, oh, you like Dragon Ball? You should watch this thing, One Piece. And I was like, what? And he's like, One Piece. It's about pirates and like stuff. It's really cool. And I was like, all right. And I like wrote him off. And then after I like watched Naruto for a long time, this was like 6 or 8 months later, I was like, oh, I should check out that one that Steven told me about. And I started watching it and like instantly was like, this is it. This is like the greatest thing I've ever seen. And it is so good. So basically there's like almost 800 episodes of that. So like,
Jesus.
So like over the past like 2 years, I've been trying, like I'm caught up now, but I've been trying to like get through it all. But like once I got caught up on that, which was really fast, cause at the time I didn't have a job. So I watched a lot of it. So once I got caught up with that, it's like those come out every week. So I was like, I like this. Like, I really like anime now. I want to watch other things. So I started branching out into other things. And the thing with anime, what got me into manga too, that made me like jump that bridge, is animes are adapted from mangas. So they're always behind the manga. So like at any time, like right now, I love like the One Piece anime. So I'm trying not to dip into the manga and read all of what's sure, about to happen, because I want to like stay
totally
like current on like what they air. But like other shows, like there's this one, Bleach, that's another one. Like they call Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach like the big three or whatever of anime. So that ended, like the anime ended, but they're still like doing the actual manga for it, so you can read all that. That's basically where I started. Was I was like, oh, I gotta know what the hell is going on. So I just started reading that.
Is it manga or manga? Have we been slaughtering the name?
I thought about that earlier, and I honestly don't know.
Tell us.
I've always heard it manga. So okay, I'm
manga. I think that's what I say. Yeah. Manga.
I think both pronunciations are probably used a lot, yeah, but we know what we're talking about.
Actually, pronounced mancala.
So how many people, do you know how many people read manga?
I don't know worldwide, but it's like blown up a lot, especially with the internet. It's very, very popular. But I know that manga accounts for more than 30% of all sales of Japanese publications.
Wow.
So that's like books, newspaper, like everything. It's 30%. So it's a third of everything published in Japan. It is huge there.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So a few people read it.
Yeah. So, okay. So this brings me to, I'll just give you this little tidbit now. The guy that created One Piece, his name is Eiichiro Oda. I hope I said that right. I swear I've heard it before, so I hope I said it right.
Sounds good.
His biggest influence is Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball, which is probably why I like it so much. And he has got a Guinness World Record for the most copies printed for a comic by a single author, with 320,866,000 copies.
So, what? That's like the population of the U.S.
Yeah.
So, every person has read this comic, theoretically.
Yeah, exactly. So they're so popular.
We live in such a bubble, like in the U.S. I mean, God dang it, that's amazing.
Well, because, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like the animes people know are like Miyazaki animes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
So Avatar. And I feel like that's like what people know generally, unless you're like into anime. And it's interesting because I'm going to Otakon, which is an anime convention with my friend Billy.
Know some tidbits.
Oh, I know. And it's really great that we're doing this because I'm going very soon. And so like I can learn a little bit because I'm going with my friend Billy and his girlfriend. And like he's really into anime.
Naya.
Like,
she has a name. Nick.
Sorry, his girlfriend Naya.
Shout out to my girl.
So I'm going with them and I'm really excited because Billy like loves anime. So I'm really excited to watch him like really nerd out. But I'm also kind of concerned because, like, I don't know. I've seen Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, and, like, a couple episodes of Dragon Ball Z, and then Pokemon.
Oh, my God.
That's it. I don't know anything else. And I'm probably going to watch a few things before I go, but I'm going in there blind. I'm about to jump into this world where people are all dressed up as characters, and I have no idea what they are. And I'm very excited, but I'm a little nervous because I'm like, I'm not going to know. And I'm going to do a lot of like smiling and nodding, being like, yeah, that character, man.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, I went to WonderCon and I know a lot about, like, not a lot, but I know like Marvel comics and DC comics and stuff. And still, it was like, so much other stuff that I couldn't even like dip a toe into, and it was still super fun. Everyone's just dressed up, like it's just
it's gonna be a blast.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me though, because like people will definitely cosplay for that.
Oh yeah,
and like dress up like characters from anime, which is cosplaying. And this is a funny fact I read online. I was reading about how like what needs to happen for a manga to be turned into an anime, and like other than like fan base and stuff like that. One thing is, like, if enough famous cosplayers are dressing up as the characters from your manga, they will just make it an anime.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I thought that was really weird.
So cool. we could get anything made into an anime if we just all start dressing up.
Yeah,
choose
exactly.
A really bad,
we make our own anime.
Terrible, stereotypical, racist, just something horrible, and just get it made into an anime. They're like, this is what the people want. Here you go.
But again, I think that's interesting. Again, kind of goes into a thing that we're seeing more and more of, like how social media is affecting kind of what gets made. Because again, now these cosplayers are on like Twitter and they're on Instagram. They're huge, huge, huge. And it's like, yeah, they're changing the whole game. Because before it was probably just fan base and then, you know, quality. But now it's like if these cosplayers are out doing it, you know.
There's okay. Boom. So like, it's crazy what social media has done, because I was on YouTube, and so I'm in love with One Piece. I think it's the greatest television series of all time. And like I said, I don't want to like peek into what's coming. I always just want to watch it week by week as to what happens and how it unfolds. But you can go online and people make predictions of like what's going to happen in the future. And there's like a few of these people online, their YouTube channels, which are just solely like, I'm going to make predictions for One Piece, have like 50 to 100,000 subscribers.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's just like, so it's just crazy. It's like, so, and they're making a living going, I like this thing, and this is what I think is going to happen. Like, and I'm sure they're making money if they have like 50,000 subscribers.
Yeah, at least
they
a are. Little bit. Yeah.
So is it similar to in the US, how there's like, cause you were saying, the Tezuka started like the studio system for manga. So is it like there's mainstream like studios that produce manga, and then there's also like indie artists that are making it as well?
I don't know for sure. I want to say yes. Like there's definitely the mainstream manga studios for sure.
Okay.
But I also think there is offshoots. But the thing is the way like 95% of all manga artists get their start the same way, and that is like basically an apprenticeship. You have to like get a job at a studio apprenticing somebody else and just like drawing the nose on all of their dudes.
Oh
like
my gosh.
Basically for like years, and then like, you know, you move up and boom, boom, boom. But like there's other routes in, which we'll get into later in the trivia section.
Interesting.
Foreshadowing. But so like that's how most of them get into it. So a lot of the times what happens is like they'll get into it and they'll either become like big in that studio, or I'm assuming go off and just like, since they created something big, create their own thing, and like it's basically indie. But I don't know. Wow. I wish I knew more.
So can you give us, because you've been talking about One Piece and you said it's about pirates and everything, that sounds really fun. Can you give just a very quick, I mean, obviously it's a very long running thing, but a quick synopsis. Yeah, like, what are we generally getting into if we check out One Piece?
Oh, wait, how do we find it? And, is it all online? Yeah.
Literally, you could go on Hulu. They have almost all 800 episodes. Boom.
Jeez. Wow.
You could watch it dubbed in English to like almost where it is, maybe like a year or two behind, or you could watch it subtitled to where we are now. I started it dubbed because I didn't realize it wasn't at the same level. I didn't realize it takes time for them to dub everything.
Sure.
That it's going to be behind. And then I caught up and I like gave it a week and I was like, nope, can't wait. And then I switched to subtitle. And then now that's all I do. I pretty much watch them all subtitled now because it's like better, because it matches.
You get to hear the original
lips,
yeah, the yeah, voice yeah, performance the and the matches. And
I always go for subtitles if I can.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So what's One Piece about?
So One Piece is, oh man, it's going to be so hard to do this short. So it's about this dude, Monkey D. Luffy. Oh, here's another thing about like Japanese names that I think is cool, is they're like the last part of their name is not what we call the last name or the surname. So everyone calls him Luffy because that's like his name. And his father is named Monkey D. Dragon and his grandfather's named Monkey D. Garp. So like, sure. Monkey, the first name is like their surname basically.
Hmm.
So Monkey D. Luffy is a pirate. And what happened like 20 years ago is there was this big pirate called Gold D. Roger, G-O-L-D, Roger, Gold, get it? who was like the king of the pirates. He has the biggest treasure in the world. It's called the One Piece. And he got caught by the government and was being executed. And his last words before they beheaded him were like, I've hidden my treasure, the One Piece, and whoever finds it is going to become the next pirate king. So he gets killed. And then right after that, there's just this huge boom of like pirates in the world and everyone is a pirate. And so the story follows Monkey D. Luffy, who wants to become the king of the pirates. And you start, it literally starts out with him in a tiny raft. And you watch him like go through his journey of like finding a crew and all this. And that's the basic story. And like the little extra bit that I would say you have to know is in this world, there are these things called devil fruits. And it's like a
it's
little
mangoes.
It's mangoes. Mangoes. It is mangoes. Mangoes. It makes
going
you
going to eat that devil fruit. You're going to see.
But it's these like special fruits that look real weird. And whenever you eat them, they have they give you like specific abilities. There's three different kinds. And
potassium.
There's potassium. There's three different kinds. There's Logia, Paramecium, and wow, I can't believe I'm blanking on the other one. It's the cool one too. Oh no.
I think it's called the cool one. It's the one fruit.
It's the cool one. It's called the one fruit, yeah. But anyway, Luffy eats a paramecium. It makes his body turn to rubber. It's called the gum gum fruit. So he's what they call a rubber man. He's like turned into rubber. He can stretch his arms out, stretch his head like 100 feet and like all that. So there's these in the world, which like you see, which are like kind of the cool thing that you see everyone. Like some dudes are like made out of like fire and stuff like
and
that.
And it's permanent?
It is. Okay. So the reason they're called devil fruits is like the pirates who eat them, like the one bad thing about him is that it's like created by the devil of the sea or something, right? So once you eat it, the sea rejects you. So if you touch water, you like go limp. And like if you fall in the water, you're going to die.
Because
you can't move. You can't do anything. So once you like touch the water, which is bad, which is why
you're a pirate who can't touch water?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
how come, I feel like there's nothing comparable in our current day that has run for so long. Like what makes One Piece so popular?
I think it's just because it's okay. So it's like in manga, there's like two big sections. There's like shoujo and shonen, and shoujo is like the like love side. And so it was originally aimed more towards like women and stuff. And shonen was like for like little boys and stuff. So it's a shonen and it's like just very action oriented and like the like atmosphere of like a manga or anime. Like I don't know how to explain it, but like they have a certain style, so like it encapsulates that style to like perfection. So that's why I think it caught on so well and it's so popular, because it started in 97 and
it's the
still
most
running
popular
now.
Would you say it's the most popular manga?
Oh, it's absolutely, it's the highest selling like manga of all time for sure.
Wow. That's insane. Makes sense. It's an action adventure series. Mm-hmm. You think about it, what's a great series we have here? Indiana Jones, like all those action adventure movies, people just gravitate toward that kind
and
of
everyone
story.
Loves pirates.
Pirates,
yeah. Who doesn't like
seas?
Pirates? And think about like little kids, like pirates are the coolest.
And so, now you
like,
have magic
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
Is there crossover ever with the love side and the action side?
I mean, absolutely. Like it's not like like a shallow thing, like it has every aspect. So the problem is like the main character, I think he's like 16 or something, you know, he's not old, so like he's not in love, but like other characters like are older and they're like love women, or they're like womanizers, or like there's women who are like men and like stuff. So there's that, but it doesn't follow the main character's like want for love. Like that's not even a part of it. You just see it like in the background with other characters and stuff.
Cool. Right on. Damn, that's cool. I want to watch that show. I was like literally starting to pull up Hulu and I was like, wait, you can't watch this right now.
You guys keep going.
Over here. It sounds really cool. I'm like, pirates. I like magic.
If I were somebody who was interested in delving into this world of manga, where would I start? Would you recommend to watch some of these big shows and get into it that way? Or is there like a website? Is there a book I can read that tells me like an encyclopedia of all the best mangas?
Well, there's, okay, so there's like Hulu's going to have all the like big ones and stuff, but there's this website Crunchyroll that has like a ton of anime. Manga, there's tons of websites. You can just go online to find online manga to read. But as far as like anime, Crunchyroll is the spot. It's got everything. You can break it down into genres and like search for whatever you like with keywords and stuff. You can be like, I like stars and fruit, and you'll find something.
Mango.
So are there like, because you know here there's like magazines strictly about telling you what movie to go see. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like Entertainment or Variety mm-hmm. or something. Yeah. So does that exist for manga too?
Where- totally. It totally does. There's also like on top of that, they still just have weekly publications. There's this magazine called Shonen Jump where One Piece is like the way it's published is it's not like a comic book that comes out every week. It's part of a magazine that every week comes out with like 10 different comics in it. So you can grab that and just like catch up on all your like favorites.
Wow. That's awesome.
So One Piece, it comes out weekly.
Mm-hmm.
How long are they roughly?
The manga or the anime?
The manga.
The manga. I think mangas are like generally like 20 to 30 pages. Like they're pretty short.
That's a feat.
And are they like weekly half hour episodes or 20 minute episodes?
Yeah, they're like 24.
Damn, that's episodes. A feat. And then again, I'm sure this is generally, but like generally how long, what's the delay time between the manga coming out and then, like,
years
the anime? Okay. Yeah, like
so right now, since One Piece is like, it's like as close as you can get without being like, okay, we're too close, guys, let's stop. Like they literally stopped for like 3 weeks because they were like, we don't want to get too close. So right now they're probably like, as far as episodes behind, like so let's think of it as the anime. So the anime to catch up to where the manga is right now is probably gonna be 4 months.
Okay.
Something like that.
Wow.
Maybe a little more.
It's a little bit of a head start then.
Yeah. And anybody who likes anime knows that they will not hesitate to use what we call filler episodes, which is like they'll just do an episode randomly where they're all somewhere else on vacation and they get into some hijinks. Like it's just a stupid filler episode that has nothing to do with anything. That's awesome. Just so that they can like back off and not get caught up.
That's awesome. Damn. Brad. That's cool, man. I'm gonna watch One Piece for sure.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't gonna hear me from me for a while.
So like back to your question, I don't know what the exact like perfect anime to recommend someone. Like your sister, I wanted to get her into it, so I had her watch this one, Attack on Titan, because it's like really dramatic and like super actiony, and the animation is like really good, like really modern and awesome, and it just wasn't her thing. So like it's hard because it depends what you're into and what you'll like. But if you like anime and you've never watched One Piece, then I'm like, watch it, you'll love it. Like, there's just no way if you like any anime or manga, you will love it. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, damn, that's a great intro to manga. Thanks so much for bringing the whole history and seeing.
Yeah, that's like
it's cool because it goes back quite a ways, and they were kind of laying the groundwork for many, many years.
I bet it goes back further than American comics.
Oh, it has to.
Well from America's the- from, never mind, yeah, guys. Right. We're not that old. Okay. Answered my own question.
Boom.
Continue. Thank you, Taylor.
Speaking of questions, do you have any trivia for us? Because I would love to do a
quiz. Pop quiz. It's time for the pop quiz. Quiz. Pop quiz. We'll laugh when Nick loses.
Pop quiz.
Yeah, I do. I got some questions. I got a couple. I got three. One in which is a two-parter.
Oh, snap. Well, we're experts now, so we're going to nail it. So I guess fire away whenever you're ready.
Okay. So let's start here. So I was just talking about One Piece and about how they have the world record, or Ichiro Oda has the world record for most copies printed for a comic by a single author. So he's the only author. He's created the whole story. It's all from his mind. So I thought it was fun to go back and look at like what that compares to. And when you think about comic books, like American, What is like, what's a big character that pops out to you?
Superman.
Okay.
Captain America, Batman.
Yeah.
I thought
Spider-Man. So I went back and I looked up Spider-Man, and from the last 44 years, from the first volume to now, I looked at all the publications and I added them all up together. And I want to see who can get the closest to the amount of copies published for Spider-Man over 44 years. And remember, the record by Oda since 1999, so that's like, or 1997, so that's 19 years. So almost half, just shy of half, is just over 320 million. So what do you guys think Spider-Man's whole life of comics
is
at?
Spider-Man is the most popular, I think, in terms of
one of
sales.
One of the most.
If I remember correctly.
I'm going to go 200 million, just Bryce, round number.
I think it's more. I think it's more than One Piece.
No, because he has the record.
For the single author. There's not a single author for Spider-Man.
Exactly. You have multiple people working on it.
Listen to the questions. I'm going to say 800 million.
I'm sticking with mine.
I'm going 156.
Okay, so we got Nick at 156, Casey at 800, and Mike at 300?
200.
200 million? 300 million?
I want 300 now.
Okay. So Casey pointed out a good point that you have multiple people, new authors all the time constructing new storylines for Spider-Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just going to show you how incredible manga is. Because in the life of Spider-Man over 44 years, they have published 17,422,332 copies.
Dang.
One Piece has printed 18.5 times that.
Wow.
In half the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I was like adding it up and I was like, okay, this is going to be close, or Spider-Man's going to have like way more. And I was like, holy balls.
Wow.
Holy balls.
No one is originally going to guess like 50, but I was like, no, that's way too low. Mm. And I came with 17.
Wow. So Nick's closest.
I guess. Yeah.
So Nick's got one.
I was only off by like 140.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, just go for the prices right.
I was off by almost a billion. So
that's true.
You know,
just shy of a bill. Okay. So let's go to the question number two. Okay. So I brought up earlier that most manga artists get into the business by going into apprenticeships. One big time artist got into business by entering a contest, and that artist's like piece was so good that they were just like, boom, we're going to give you a deal, start making something. And so they just bypassed all of the shitty work that you have to do and started going right into the creation.
Wow.
And what, if you could guess in manga or anime, if anything you've heard of, give me your best guess as to what that artist is best known for creating. I can give you a clue if you guys think that is too vague.
I already got my guess.
No, I think we can guess.
You go then.
Powerpuff Girls. Boom.
Oh.
I threw it up. Threw up my sign.
I'm only...
Maybe.
Samurai Jack.
Ooh. Nick, Kangaroo Jack.
I was going to go Kangaroo Jack. I was just thinking about that. I'm going to go... I'll go Avatar.
So it was one we already talked about today.
Naruto.
And it was Sailor Moon.
Oh, Sailor Moon.
Right when you said.
I went with a stupid, funny answer. But
I was like,
Sailor
ooh, a bunch of girls, superpowered girls.
When you said Powerpuff Girls, I was like, oh, it might be Sailor Moon. But I was like, nah. Oh.
And the artist was Naoko Takeuchi. I know that's awesome. I'm saying that incorrectly, and I'm so sorry, Miss Takeuchi.
That's so cool though. Just a badass. Be like, yeah, I'm gonna skip that apprenticeship.
They were like, this is great. And like, people love this. Like, let's get you awesome. Working.
People cool. love Sailor Moon.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So last question. Nick has one. Everyone else has less than one. So Osamu Tezuka, the god of comics.
God.
Which American entertainer tried to hire him for a potential new science fiction project?
Ooh, can I guess?
Go for it.
Joss Whedon.
Oh, okay. Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Wait.
Keep in mind when he was alive. I'll say, like, what in was like 1947. Oh!
Good call. Sorry, I was thinking recent.
wait. Can you repeat the question?
Which American entertainer tried to hire Osamu Tezuka for a potential science fiction project?
Mel Brooks.
Walt Disney.
That's what I was going to say.
Nick, do what I'm thinking.
You got it, dude.
You can feel the vibes in the air.
Yeah, Mike and I, we have that brotherly connection. Let's go, Dustin Hoffman.
There you go. Ooh, somebody was right.
What?
It was motherfucking Walt Disney.
Yeah, it was. He's an innovator. He loved to collaborate.
They met at the 1964 New York World's Fair. And Disney was like, hey, you're basically the Japanese me. Let's do something.
And then he died and they never did. Yeah. Oh, that would have been so cool.
So that's the two-parter.
Oh,
okay.
There is another American entertainer who tried to hire Osamu Tezuka for another science fiction project. Not potential, it happened. Their schedules just didn't happen to line up. It would have been dope.
This was a real
they got close to actually
somebody else.
Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, that was my gosh darn guess.
You have to be faster.
Let's do Harold Ramis.
a very young Harold Ramis.
A little early.
Lord. Roy Disney.
That's such a good guess.
I know, right?
Such a good guess. Hey, my bro's gone, but yeah, still got that
still
paperwork.
Still want to hang out? Yeah.
I'm going to say Casey got another
two
one.
It was
Stanley Kubrick. Kubrick wanted Tezuka to be the art director on 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I knew it. That makes me so angry.
You were going
to
say it?
That's what I was trying to beam to Nick the first time. And he said there's a second thing, I was like, Kubrick for sure. And I was like gearing up to say it in case like,
gearing.
I was like,
it's my Jeopardy training. It's all about that speed.
So Casey takes it with the 2-point win.
I wish that Walt Disney collaboration had happened. That's probably partly why Miyazaki is so important to them now.
Yeah.
Is because John Lasseter is very heavily influenced by anime. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's awesome. My boy, Walt, recognizing talent everywhere he went.
I know. I thought it was so cool. Like, this guy was so big in Japanese culture, but it's more than that. He was just big in art because, like, these huge artists were like, I really want to work with this guy.
That's amazing.
That's so awesome.
Dude, manga. Who knew? Now we do.
Manga. Also, it's really good for your body and your brain to read manga while eating mangoes.
Yeah. Just so you know.
Manga.
And that's a Brothers Murph tip. Yeah. It's just a tip of the Murph right there.
Patented.
Tip of the Murph.
Put a stamp on it.
That's the tip of the Murph. That's a new segment called Tip of the Murph. Welcome to Tip of the Murph.
Hi, welcome to Tip of the Murph.
Where we give very vague advice. No science.
Mostly fruit related. Yeah.
Mostly fruit related. Next week is apples.
Devil fruit, though?
Taylor, thank you so much, man. That was, don't eat them devil
Taylor
fruits.
Barrett.
That was so cool. I want to watch all these things so bad. I didn't give them a fair shot when I was younger. It's not too late. It's not too late.
That's the thing, man. It's like they're just cool. Like, they're not even for little kids. Some of them are definitely geared towards it, but some are so cool. There's so many more in my head right now that I'm like, you should have talked about this one. Like, Attack on Titan, I talked about earlier. That one is just cool for adults. It is cool. It's just like sci-fi at its best. It's awesome.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Well, we're going to have to watch all these things, and we'll tell you guys what we're getting into and digging on and stuff. So thank you so much, man. We want to take 1 second to ask you guys to open up your app right now. Keep listening to my silky smooth voice. Open up whatever app you have. If it's Stitcher, if it's the iOS app, if it's iTunes or whatever. If you want to keep this little vocal train going, keep on chugging along up that hill, you can just subscribe to our podcast and then rate it and give us 5 stars. And then we'll be super duper happy. And we'll just continue to give you guys great content in the future, but
or
it helps
just
us
leave
get
us a review and tell us how much you hate us, and we'll change. We promise. Fine. We're all about you people and pleasing you.
We care very much about what you think. We want to be doing a good job. Just please reach out and talk to us. It's super easy. You can do it just while listening to our podcast, and let us know what you think and what we can do better, what you're liking, and
topics you'd like to hear.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yep,
help us shape the show, man. Make it your show. Just like those cosplayers make animes out of whatever they want, you can also make us do whatever you want by giving us 5-star reviews on iTunes. So thank you so much for that, you guys. You can check us out on all forms of social media, where we can be found at The Brothers Murph. Search for us on Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram. And Taylor, we can find you on Instagram and Twitter, correct?
Yes, sir.
It's at T Taylor.
Taylor T. Behrens.
Taylor T. Behrens.
And that's B-E-H-R-E-N-S.
Yes, and you can find him there, and he has all sorts of cool, awesome things going on, and you're going to be in a show coming up here in January, right here in the Los Angeles area. It's going to be super fun. It's like a variety show, from what I understand, with music, comedy, sketch, all sorts of crazy stuff, jugglers, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll let us jackasses get up and do something at some point, so do check that out.
So that's going to be on Mondays?
That's going to be Monday nights at the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake. If you're in the area, come check it out. If you're a comedian, let me know. I will give you some time on stage.
That's right. So come holler at us, and we'll be putting out information about specifics, but that's coming up on Monday nights in Silver Lake.
Yeah, and you can also find me on Twitter at Ovalface Elite.
True.
Still pushing it. Still pushing it. Yes. Ovalface Elite.
It's mostly just pictures of Nick holding up ovals next to his face.
It's true.
and just chugging as much Ovaltine as you can, I hope. Exactly.
Yeah, we're trying hard for that sponsorship.
It's a throwback to our makeup episode where Rachel mistakenly told Nick that he had the ideal face shape, and Nick has not let that die. Exactly.
But no, it's a real Twitter, Ovalface Elite. Please look it up. Anyone can follow.
Anyone can
really okay.
Visit.
Here's the thing, anyone can visit, regardless of your face shape. We're equal opportunity. Anyone can visit. If you please don't participate in the discussion or send pictures of your not oval face. No one cares. No one wants to see it. But so please view. You know, just be a spectator if you don't. If you're not one of the ideals, and so that's all I ask. But Oval Face Elite at Twitter. Please check it out.
Not interested in the amount of followers. Just the quality followers.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Quality over quantity.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have 3 perfect specimens as your followers, that's really all you need.
Yep. Trying to get Oprah.
There you go. You can play a fine game of squash with your fellow oval faces. So do check us out on all those things.
Bay number one's got an oval face.
Salma Hayek
does have Bay number one face. Is Salma Hayek.
Bay numero uno, even?
Yeah, Nick, come on.
Sorry. I'm not very culturally diverse.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it, guys. So for now, I have been Michael Lee Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
And our guest has been
Taylor Behrens. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks for life. And we are imploring you all to stay curious.